Ah, come in, Tammy. We're just about to start. Yeah. Okay. A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 2nd of July, 2019, Tuesday class. Very fast. We already more than half a year into 2019. So let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milo Pho. Namo Milo Pho. Namo Milo Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Dhammasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can visit it. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onwards. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya macchapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sukanghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindas siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhaṃ kasumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokkhaṃ pūpaṃ milayati yatā idaṃ me kāyo tatā yati vināsa bhāvaṃ ādeva setu no bhante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang adivasetuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang Adivaseto no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the puja offerings. Yeah, Colin, come join us. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits brought of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripuja. Buddhaṃ pujayepi. Dhammaṃ pujayemi. ังหังพุทเจมิโอเค you all can be seated just relax body and mind and we will have half an hour silent meditation so tonight you are very lucky huh? Yun Chan brought durian so we will have durian to supplement our usual supper. Okay, for those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. Eh? For those who still need to train your mind or spiritual faculty, you do it. Most important thing is to understand what is meditation as taught by the Buddha. According to the Buddha, he stressed on heedfulness. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 all confirm you need heedfulness. If you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. If you are heedful, you will never die. Otherwise, the heedless are as if dead. So this is a very important statement made by the Buddha. So what we need is heedfulness. And to be heedful, there are two major components. The Buddha under Dhammapada verse 23 states clearly, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, these two you combine, that is heedfulness. And when you are heedful, you will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. So to be constantly meditative, we need to be mindful first. Then when we stabilize our mindfulness, we can develop ever mindful state of mind. The mind that is in the state of ever mindfulness can meditate. Without that state of mind, you cannot meditate. So to meditate means you cultivate noble eightfold path. So all these are in the teaching. So the first thing we must do is to train our mind to be in a state of sati or mindfulness. Then when we stabilize it, it becomes ever mindful. When it becomes ever mindful, that is the first step towards heedfulness. Then you use that mind that is already trained, ever mindful, to meditate. That's what meditation is all about. So all of the form of meditation that we do, we supposed to develop the quality of mind or sati. According to the Buddha, the reason why a living being cannot meditate, they are not peaceful, is because they lack the spiritual faculties, the five spiritual faculties. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. So without Saddha and Virya, your mind cannot be calm, cannot be composed, and you will not strive on with heedfulness to train your mind to be mindful, to have Sati. That's why spiritual faculties are very important. Without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance take over. And this mental hindrance create problem for you. They are called mental hindrance because these are mental states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness and inner awareness. That's why you cannot be in a silent state of mind to meditate. So understanding this is very important. So we got two choices. First is to work on the five spiritual faculties, so that the five mental hindrance will not disturb you. The five mental hindrance is a result of lack of the five spiritual faculties. So you work on the spiritual faculty, they will cease to be. And to train your mind to have spiritual faculty, you need to develop the understanding of who the Buddha is and how special a being he is and how wonderful his teaching is. so that you can have the faith in Him. That faith will give rise to the understanding that His teaching can liberate your mind, bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, free your mind from all suffering. That's why you will have the virya to go all out to cultivate His teaching. That's how sadha and virya come about. Then when you train, sati will be there. So to develop sati, you must understand the moment you are without the thinking, you are already aware. So don't try to do anything. The moment you try to use your thought to do something, it will make the thinking active. Then you are not in the state of sati. That's why you need it. What you need is just relax away, don't do anything. When you can relax and away, means you silence your mind. Then whatever thought that arise, let it arise. If you don't give it any meaning, if you are not deceived by it, it will naturally slow down and return to its original state of mind, which is the inner peace, the inner silence, and the inner awareness without thought. So you just let it settle down. Then the inner peace, the inner calmness, and the inner awareness, they will arise. For some people, because they have not developed any spiritual faculty, their mental hindrance are too active, too strong. So in the midst of life, they are very heedless. They think a lot. They keep on creating mental hindrance in their daily life. So their mind will be in a state of restlessness, full of thought, full of thinking, full of activity. Then if they don't keep their precept, if they have problems in life, they will develop fear, worry, anxiety, attachment, clinging. So all this will give rise to the restless mind, which is not peaceful. Then this mind, being without the spiritual faculty, is very heedless. It thinks a lot. Then the mental hindrance keep on arising. Sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, doubt, they keep on arising. That's why they cannot meditate. So if you have such problem, then you need to work on the spiritual faculty. Then if your spiritual faculty are still not stable, you can use a skillful means to temporarily bring about the sati or mindfulness. You can use that skillful means that we always teach you how to use, the mind sweeping method followed by metta. You just relax body and mind, silent everything. Then maintain awareness at your forehead. Then you feel and you relax into it. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax, relax, and feel it soothingly relax. As you feel and relax, you don't think anymore. So this is a good way of deconditioning the heedless thinking to keep the mental hindrance temporarily at bay. So after you relax the forehead muscle, then you sweep it down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel, relax. Then your facial muscle, do the same. Each and every strand, feel, relax, feel, relax. And in order to assist you to relax more, you can radiate loving kindness to yourself. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you are naturally relaxed. There is joy, there is happiness. Then after that, you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. my state to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. Then may this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it's my state to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled always. May there be peace, may there be love, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate this same loving kindness to all your loved ones. May all my loved ones, my parents, my brothers, my sister, my good friend, my good Kayametha, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind state still be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you continue to radiate this love and metta to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of this place, the whole of us too, and all Kayametha who are meditating here, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Then you can extend to all beings within the whole of SS2, Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, and all beings within the solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings within the entire universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then also, may their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. By now, you should be more calm, more peaceful. Then you just relax and silence everything. That quietness is your mindfulness, your awareness. But you need to anchor this mindfulness so that it can stabilize. The Buddha recommended Anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. So now you maintain mindfulness in front of your nostril. Just silence your mind and maintain awareness. Then breathing in, away. Breathing out, away. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Wanders off, bring it back. Until your Anapanasati stabilizes. Then this Anapanasati, you continue to relax and develop this mindfulness of the in and out breath. Until it become very quiet, very calm, very still. Yeah. You will experience many good mind states as you progress along your training of Anapanasati. Initially, Anapanasati will make you calm, peaceful. You will experience a type of joy which they call piti, spiritual joy, spiritual calmness of mind. Then sometimes you experience it for the first time. It's like a rupture It's like something very nice rupture in your mind. Then you continue to relax and silent and allow. Just give me a minute. Okay, sorry for the interruption. So there's a sister who just came today. She is from SJBA. I think her name is Lim Le Yong. So she just arrived. Sui An text me. That's why I know. So you're most welcome, huh, Leo. Yeah. Make yourself at home. Just relax, silent your mind, meditate. Later you can listen to the instruction again. Then I will give you some books. They will help you to develop the understanding. Okay. I will set the alarm so that when the half an hour is up, you all can hear the bell. I will ring the bell 3 times. Okay. You have another maybe 15-17 minutes to go. Okay, just relax body and mind. Just now I didn't finish the Mind Supreme. Oh, sorry, I finished the Mind Supreme method, then I was teaching you how to develop Anapanasati. I continue a bit more. When your Anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, is developed, you will experience a type of spiritual calmness or spiritual joy, which they call PD. Then you continue to relax into it. This PD will become more quiet, more refined. Then you will experience sukham, which is a type of bliss, a blissful state of mind where you feel very good, very blissful. But this is not an enlightenment factor, so this one you need to be careful. You just experience it and let it pass. Don't attach it, don't cling on to it, don't expect it to be repeated. Then you can continue to relax and allow this Anapanasati to continue to develop. Then later on you will experience a type of very quiet mind. They call it the tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. Your mind become very quiet, very still, like no thought. And that is pasati. Pasati is an enlightenment factor. So you just need to relax into it and allow this pasati to stabilize. when you stay with the silence, stay with the quietness, then this sparsity will stabilize. Then if you can stabilize it, you will realize the true mind. The true mind is the mind that is without thought. It's just aware. And that is your meditative mind. That is the mind that can understand many things. So when you can reach that state, then you have progressed very well. Then if you continue to silence and relax, your meditation will become very different. The breath, like no more breath, it becomes so subtle as if you are not breathing. But actually there is very fine, subtle breathing, internal breathing. But when your sati stabilizes, your pasati stabilizes, it will have the ability to detect this very fine, subtle breathing. It's like your mind is aware of all those very subtle movements. Then you can maintain that inner peace, inner awareness, and inner calmness. The mind becomes very quiet. Then whatever that arises within your form and mind, you can be aware. Because you have a physical body that has the five physical senses. Your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your tactile. Then you have a brain which can give rise to thought, consciousness, thinking. So this sense basis, the six, can trigger off its respective sense or consciousness when the sense data come in and contact, make contact with them. Then depend on your mind, wherever it is, it can give rise to the respective consciousness. You can become conscious of hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or even thinking. So you silence your mind and allow this silent mind to develop the understanding on its own. You need to stabilize this in the form of meditation, so that later on when you come out of the form of meditation, this mindfulness is with you. You have to meditate until it's so stable, until your mind enters sati. When your mind enters sati, every moment of consciousness is in sati. Means your seeing, your hearing, your smell, your taste, your tactile thought consciousness, they are all in sati. That's why after that, when you come out of the meditation, it's like you are very mindful, fully aware. Aware of your kaya movement, activity. It's like your thought all slow down, you hardly think. Then whatever turning, bending, stretching, walking, you are fully aware. Then all of your vision, seeing also aware. Hearing also aware. Because the mind is like in sati. So when you can do that, you have progressed very well. Then you have to carry this mind state into the daily life to develop the daily mindfulness. Continuity of daily mindfulness. So when you can be ever mindful, you use it to cultivate sampajana. Sampajana is clear comprehension. There are four types of clear comprehension. First is sincerity of purpose. Second is domain of meditation. Third is suitability. Fourth is non-delusion. All these are in the short notes. So you can refer to them later on and develop the understanding. So when sati sampajana come about, you will awaken. You will understand many things on your own. Sense restraint will be automatic. Then you can see the essential Dhamma, your defilement. Then the three way of right conduct will be there. That's how you will transform. And enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Okay, I will stop here. Then I will let you meditate. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then these are the mind state that you need to carry them into your daily life to cultivate the daily mindfulness. Unless you can do that, you have not started your real meditation. Ability to sit in the form of meditation to develop some peace and calm is okay. It's good training of the mind, but there is not meditation yet. The real meditation starts when your sati is very stable, mindfulness is very stable. That is the state of mind that you need to develop. Okay? Now turn to page 6 of the chanting book. Leon, there's a chanting book in front. Turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or the teaching of the King of Sages which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Now I will do the invocation in Pali. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava araha sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta manusanam buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko Ehi paseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabbo vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chatari purisa yugani Hatha purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo anjali karaniyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. Bedang puja ini. Damang puja ini. Sanghang puja ini. Okay. You can be seated then. Just relax body and mind. Then we will continue with the Chapter 33, the topic is Nibbana, enlightenment, the unconditioned. Yeah. We are following this book, the Buddha and his teaching. Okay, thank you. Jin Hao, you got a soft copy, you send it to her handphone. She's in the Mahayana Mitta. We follow this book. Never mind, she got the hard copy. Right? Yeah, you just send over the soft copy later. Okay, we are at page 492, I think. Oh, you have the book. Yeah, you have the soft copy. You forward to Mahayana Mitta one more time. Okay. Turn to page 492. We are at the last paragraph. Is Nibbana nothingness? Okay, before we continue, I'd like to introduce somebody new. Miss Lim. Jane, you are Jane. Oh, not Jane. Sweet and put the bracket Jane, I don't know. No, not you. So you are Lim Le Yong. Okay. So she is Lim Le Yong. Yeah. So they are all Tuesday class Kailamita. You will be seeing them very often. Then normally what we do is we have the first session, chanting, puja offering, followed by chanting. After chanting, we have our half an hour meditation. Then this Tuesday class is different because we follow this book, the Buddha in his teaching by Narada. So we have done, I think, more than 3/4, balance with only another 1/4 to go. So here is more of Dhamma sharing. We develop the Dhamma understanding of the essential Dhamma, and also understand the history of the Buddha. That's why this understanding is very important, who the Buddha is and how he started and how long he take to complete his cultivation and all those things. That's why the topic is the Buddha and his teaching. So this topic, the Buddha, covers all of his life history, his cultivation, his quality, his very unique character and characteristic, and also his understanding of truth of the Dhamma. That's why he can teach us this very, very unique teaching. You need to have this understanding of his teaching in order to understand life, in order to live life. Otherwise, you will have a lot of problem when confronting life. He called it suffering, mental suffering. Okay. Then the page 492, last paragraph. Is Nibbana nothingness? So most of us are familiar. Nibbana is the enlightenment state. When you realize Nibbana means you realize enlightenment, awakening. you have experienced cessation. Cessation of form and mind means everything cease, including your five aggregates of form and mind. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. Then even your pure awareness also cease. Yeah. Your so-called silent mind, true mind, everything cease. Yeah. And then only that so-called Nibbanic experience can be experienced. But it's not an experience. That's why the Buddha said you cannot talk about it because it's the unconditioned. It arises when wisdom is there, then the mind that understands realizes itself and sees. Because it's cessation, all of the conditioned world dhamma cease. And when it ceases, it will go to Nibbana. And Nibbana is not something you can talk about or describe. It can only be understood by the form and mind that went through it, that ceases through it. That's the reason why the Buddha mentioned in his teaching the salutation to the Dhamma. Salutation to the Dhamma means we salute the Dhamma because this Dhamma is so wonderful. And the Buddha explained what is this Dhamma. He said the unique characteristics of this Dhamma is in that salutation that he taught us. The Buddha said, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. Then what are the characteristics of this Dhamma? The Buddha said, this Dhamma is akaliko, ehipaseko, opanayiko. This Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, opanayiko, pachyatang, veditappo, vinohiti. So the meaning is, the first characteristic is, the Dhamma is sanditiko, means can be realized in the here and the now, before you die. That is the uniqueness of the Dhamma. Means this Dhamma is ever present in the midst of life and nature because it's just truth, sanditiko. Then it's akaliko. Akaliko means it's the timeless Dhamma, beyond thought, beyond time. You cannot use thought to look for it where it is beyond thought, beyond psychological time. Psychological time is the thought process. So akaliko is the timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. So sanditiko dhamma is very unique. And because it's sanditiko, it's also akaliko. Then ehipasiko means this dhamma can stand up to investigation. He invites you to investigate this dhamma because they are nature's law. Nature's truth. That's why it will stand up to investigation. Then finally, this Dhamma is pachyatang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. That's why pachyatang veditabo vinohiti. So only that person who went through it can understand. Because for him to realize, him or her to realize Nibbana, he must have the wisdom. Otherwise, he cannot go through it. He cannot realize it. So that's the reason why the form and mind that goes through it will understand. Then after that, the wisdom will be connected to the form and mind. And this form and mind, you can say, is enlightened. But it's not you. It's just a vehicle and a tool karmically conditioned for you to come to this world. So that one is subject to karma. That one is dependent originating, condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity where you can hold on to, cling on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I. There is no such thing. But this is connected to you. Every life you come, you will have a form and mind. As a human being, we come because we are born human. That's why we have this type of form and mind, a physical body and a consciousness trapped inside. But if you are reborn in future as a deva or a non-human, then you don't have a solid physical form. Your form is different. So that type of form are more fine, more wave-like, no solidity. That's why they call it spirit-like. And if you are born as an animal, then of course it's animal, body and mind, snake, reptile, birds, or whatever of the animal kingdom. But if you are born as a devas, demons, Theta or hungry ghosts or hell beings, your form and mind will be different again. So every life you come, your karmic nature will condition a vehicle and a tool for you to come in the form of a form and mind. So as human being, we are more fortunate because as human being, we have the potential to become, to realize the highest potential to become Sammasambuddha. But we also have the potential to become the worst if we are deluded, heedless, and commit a lot of heinous evil action. Then you can go down to the hell realm and really, really go through suffering and misery. So this is what the human realm is all about. But the human realm is considered a happy realm. And actually to be born a human is not easy. It's a very, very rare condition. The chance of becoming a human being is very, very low. The Buddha gave the analogy of the blind turtle that swim in the ocean, like our four oceans. Then he said, let's say there is a turtle egg with an opening slightly bigger than the turtle head. Every 100 years, the blind turtle surface to the surface of the ocean. And the probability of that turtle head going exactly through that turtle egg's hole is the probability of you becoming a human being. Just imagine how difficult. Not to say for ocean, I put you in a pond. Every year, every 100 years, you surface. The chances of you hitting that turtle egg is so slim. So that possibility is really, really low. But it's in comparison with the billions and billions and billions of form and mind that keep on taking birth. That's why the probability is very low. And to be born as a human being, you need quite good parami. Your evil root must not be heavy, or you must not have major evil roots. Then you must have certain good merits of parami. For people who keep their five precepts, chances of becoming devas are very high. You know how to keep the precept well, then you don't have major evil. Chances are you can have rebirth as deva, but you must do meritorious action, especially dana parami. Then you must have goodness, kindness. Okay. So with that explanation, I will go in there. To say that nibbana is nothingness simply because one cannot perceive it with the five senses is as illogical as to conclude that light does not exist, simply because the blind do not see it. In a well-known fable, the fish, who was acquainted only with water, argued with the turtle triumphantly conclude that there existed no land because he received no to all his query. Once upon a time there was a fish, and just because it was a fish, it has lived all its life in the water and knew nothing whatever about anything else but water. And one day as it swam above the pond where all its day has been spent, he happened to meet a turtle of his acquaintance who had just came back from a little excursion on the land. "Good day, Mr. Turtle," said the fish. "I have not seen you for a long time. Where have you been?" "Oh," said the turtle, "I have just been for a trip on dry land." "Huh? On dry land?" the fish exclaimed. "What do you mean by on dry land?" "There is no dry land. I have never seen such a thing. Dry land is not possible." "Well," said the turtle, good-naturedly, "if you want to think so, of course you may. There is no one who can hinder you. But that's where I have been, all the same." "Oh, come on," said the fish. "Try to talk sense. Just tell me now, what is this land of yours like? Is it all wet?" "No, it's not wet," said the turtle. "Is it nice and fresh and cool?" asked the fish. "No, it's not nice and fresh and cool," the turtle replied. "Is it clear so that light can come through it?" "No, it's not clear. Light cannot come through it." "Is it soft and yielding?" "No, I could move my fins about in it and push my nose through it." "Is it soft and yielding so that I could move my fins about in it and push my nose through it?" "No, it's not soft and yielding. You cannot swim in it." "Does it move or flow in streams?" "No, it neither move nor flow in stream." "Does it ever rise up into wave, then with white foam in them?" asked the fish. Impatient at this stirring of nose, "No," replied the turtle truthfully, "it never rises up into wave that I have seen." "Then now," exclaimed the fish triumphantly, "didn't I tell you that this land of yours was just nothing? I have just asked, and you have answered them that it is neither wet nor cold, nor clear nor soft, and that it does not flow in stream, nor rise up into wave. And if it isn't a single one of this thing, what else is it but nothing? Don't tell me." "Well, well," said the turtle, "if you are determined to think that dry land is nothing, I suppose you must just go on thinking so. But anyone who knows what is water and what is land would say you were just a silly fish, for you think that anything you have never known is nothing just because you have never known it." And with that, the turtle turned away, and leaving the fish behind in his little pond, set out on another excursion over the dry land that was nothing. It was evident from this significant story that neither can the turtle, who is acquainted with both land and sea, explain to the fish the real nature of land, nor can fish grasp what is land since it's acquainted only with water. In the same way, arahants, who are acquainted with both the mundane and the supramundane, cannot explain to the whirling. Whirling means not enlightened one, the Puttijana, what exactly the supramundane is in mundane term, nor can the whirling understand the supramundane merely by the mundane knowledge. So if Nibbana is nothingness, then it necessarily must coincide with space, Both space and Nibbana are eternal and unchanging. The former is eternal because it is nothing in itself. The latter is spaceless and timeless. With regards to the difference between space and Nibbana, it may briefly be said that space is not, but Nibbana is. The Buddha, speaking of the different planes of existence, makes special reference to the realm of nothingness. In Pali, it's called Akinchana Yatana. The fact that Nibbana is realized as one of the mental objects, decidedly prove that it is not a state of nothingness. This statement is not true. Nibbana is not a mental object. There is nothing inside there. If it was so, the Buddha would not have described its state in such terms as infinite, ananta. He used non-condition, also not correct, it's the unconditioned. Incomparable, beyond, highest refuge, safety, security, highest happiness, unique, aboveness, imperishable, absolute purity, supramundane, immortality, emancipation, which is vimutti, peace is santi. So in the Uddana and Iti Uttaka, the Buddha refers to Nibbana as follow. Okay, before we read this, I just want to go through with you all briefly. Do you really have an idea of what Nibbana is or not? Who want to try? Give it a try. I think some of you may know because they have realized it. It is not something that you can easily understand, but it's good to have an understanding of it. You cannot describe and talk about it, but we can use word to describe what it is not. Because the unconditioned and the conditioned world, the two are different. Anybody want to try? Good. Pastor Adeline. Sadhu. Very good. Never mind. Just give it a try.
It's a state of mind.
Yeah.
There's a total freedom.
Yeah.
There's no duality. There's no... The five aggregates is
the five aggregate completely cease.
That's why
there is nothing inside there. Because it's unconditioned, it just cease. And there is no mind state, nothing. And all those words that the Buddha used is to describe what that thing is when you realize that. Because when you realize Nibbana, the form and mind cannot touch it, understand? Because the form and mind itself cease. But the form and mind that go through the cessation will know what that thing is. Because after that, if let's say your life force is still there, you're not supposed to die or go through parinibbana yet. That one they call enlightenment with residue. Means if you are an arahant, means an arahant with residue. Means there is still residual life force for you to come back. Then the form and mind will come back. But when it come back, you got no control. You got no say. But you don't worry. Initially, it's always a glimpse only. You cannot go in too long. It's a glimpse. The glimpse is enough to awaken you, to realize sainthood. Especially Sotapanna shape and Sakadagami shape. It's just a glimpse. A moment of cessation, very fast. But it's good enough. But that moment is so clear, so pristine. And the form and mind that realizes it will know what the thing is. Then as you transform, develop higher wisdom, then this mind has the ability to go into cessation more and more. more and more, more and more for a longer period. Yeah. Then because your life force is still there, it's not time for the five aggregate to disperse, you will not realize parinibbana. So you will realize nibbana. Then the consciousness will come back. When the consciousness come back, you will see how it actually happened. And how this consciousness come back to you. Then how, from where it split into the three areas of major consciousness. Then how it animate those areas. Then how you become alive again. Yeah. All this you will understand. So as far as Nibbana is concerned, the Buddha always used this few words. He said Nibbana is the unconditioned. Nibbana is the unconditioned. This is a very important word. Means it's not like our conditioned world, where everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Means there are a lot of things happening within the conditioned world. But the unconditioned is completely the opposite. There is nothing inside there. You cannot talk about it. No word, no concept, no mind. No mind means, of course, nothing. That's not. Your mind make a day. Mind is a forerunner of all things. When mind sees, everything sees. Yeah. So this unconditioned is not something that people can understand. So it's like the fish analogy. Huh? The fish, most of the time, they live in water. Of course, until they are drawn out by the net, huh? Or fished out by people, then only they come to realize there is such thing as air. Land. Not everywhere is water. Yeah. So, human being, in a similar way, that an enlightened being is the same. Because we are so used to life. And to us, life is what? Yeah? You live in the world of what? Thought and consciousness. So to you, only thought and consciousness. So you are like the fish, understand? You live in the thought world. The world of consciousness. And if somebody were to tell you there is such a mind state that is without thought, you say you must be crazy. How can you be without thought? True or not? If I tell you there is such a state that is without thought, you agree or not? Unless you can realize that. You can realize the space between thought. You can realize the silence where there is no thought, no arising of mind state. No sankara, nothing. Yeah. So in a similar manner, yeah, like the fish, living beings who are deluded, they cannot understand, they cannot see. Then you tell them, there is a supramundane mind, which is very different from the heedless thinking mind. Yeah. They will not understand. Mm. Then you tell them, there is such thing as enlightenment, the unconditioned. Like what the Buddha said, if there is none of this unconditioned, if it's not because of the existence of the unconditioned, then escape from the conditioned world is impossible, the Buddha said. Because such as unconditioned exists. That's why escape from the conditioned world is possible. That's when you realize that cessation, nibbana, all the things that the Buddha described is true. Yeah. But in that state, you cannot experience all those things. But because you go through that state is so beautiful that it actually is not a state. It's an unconditioned. And that unconditioned is so beautiful. All this that you experience in the conditioned world can never touch you, can never come and disturb you. That's why all the words that he used to describe Nibbana is true. Nibbana paramang sukang. Nibbana is the highest peace, yeah, or highest bliss. It's true. Because when you go through that, there is no mind to suffer. There is no mind to have problem, entangle. That's why it's completely free of suffering. Then no more rebirth, no more coming back. No more of this suffering to confront. So everything like cease. So this is what Nibbana is all about. Yeah? So now we go back and see what the text, the author say. Huh? I also haven't read that part. Huh? Maybe we read together. So page 495. Huh? In the Uddana Ittivutaka, the Buddha referred to Nibbana as follows. There is, O Bhikkhu, an unborn. See, the first thing is unborn. Yeah? Means, never get born. The Pali word is ajata. Unoriginated. See? Abhuta. Unmake. Akata. And he used the word non-conditioned state. Unconditioned is unconditioned. Angsakata. That's why they used to say sankata dhamma and asankata dhamma. If O Bhikkhu, this is the statement the Buddha made. If O Bhikkhu, there were not this unborn, unoriginated, unmade, and unconditioned, or the unconditioned, and escape from the conditioned world where there is birth, origination, make and condition would not be possible. So this is a very powerful statement. Yeah? As there is the unborn, unoriginated, unmake, and the unconditioned state, and escape from this conditioned world is possible. So that is the beautiful statement of the Buddha. The Ittivutaka states that the bond become, produced, and compounded, made. And thus not lasting, means dependent originating, condition arising, but of birth and death, an aggregate, a nest of sickness, brittle, a thing by food supported, come to be. Were not fitting to take delight in such, they escape therefrom the real beyond the sphere of reason, lasting, unborn, unproduced, the sorrowless, the stainless path that ends, the things of who, the peace from worry, bliss. So this is how they describe it. The first part is the conditioned world. The Buddha say, the born means those who are born into this world. They become, they produce, compounded, make, and thus not lasting. Yeah? Means impermanent. Not lasting because birth and death. And aggregate a nest of sickness. Then very brittle. Then this is supported by food. Every now and then you need to look for food. Come to be. So this is the problem with the conditioned world. So now I ask you a question. If you don't have a form and mind that need air to breathe, need water to survive, need food to sustain, do you want to stay in this world? You know what is your problem or not? Because this form of mind need a lot of things to survive. What are the things you need to survive? The air you breathe, you need water, you need food, you need shelter, you need so many things. And this is so fragile. any of this condition not there, this one suffer already. Not enough air also suffocate. Not enough oxygen also. Like the fish, taken out of water. So, if you look at the conditioned world, you have the understanding, like the Buddha explained, supported by food. He didn't include air and water. So all this will let you understand that this form of mind is very fragile, can easily disperse, and your life is gone. Yeah? So living beings, some more thing, they are a lot of greed. They are so powerful. They are so famous, so wealthy, so full of authority. And maybe egoic. But in actual fact, this form of mind depends on a lot of things to survive. Then we have to confront the first noble truth reality. Old age, sickness and death. Then as we live life, we have to experience separation. We have to experience the problem that comes with life, relationship problem, career problem. Relationship problem is the most difficult to handle. Then sometimes no relationship also problem. Loneliness. They go into depression. Then sometimes through their own thinking, they become cuckoo. They have so much suffering, misery, mental issues, until they land themselves in depression, depressive mind states, the deep fear, resentment, unhappiness, their phobia, their insecurity, their unhappiness, their sorrow, their lamentation. That's why human being is so prone to all this. So life is not easy without the Dhamma. That's why the Buddha said, if it's not because there exists the unconditioned Nibbana that you can go through that cessation, then no more birth, no more coming back, no more of all this. That's why you can escape from the conditioned world that is full of problems. Most of us who tend to have relatively good life, you know what you think or not? You say life is good. Correct or not? Yeah, you got money. You got not only a roof over your head, you got beautiful house. You got nice, maybe bungalow, nice apartment and home. Then you got a nice car and you are comfortable. But not everybody has such good parami. A lot of people are suffering. Go through a lot of suffering, misery. Their 3 meals also not secure, not guaranteed. Then some of them are so bad until no food, no shelter. They have to really struggle to make ends meet. Then off and on, they are confronted with a lot of suffering, misery. So all this can be weakness in society, in life. Then you have enough experience of life, you will come to know the world is not what you think. But for us, Dhamma friends, we are lucky because we know the teaching. We know how to apply this teaching, so that we can avoid all those tragedy, all those unnecessary mental suffering. Otherwise it's not easy. Then we know how to plan our life. We know how to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do wholesomeness, goodness, cultivate merits, wholesomeness, so that our coming nature is taken care of, Then when we keep our precept, we avoid all evil, we become beautiful. Then we start to reap what we sow, because we have planted the appropriate good seeds. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, virtue, kindness, goodness, sincerity, honesty, respect, gratitude. You will reap all those fruit. But if you become heedless and plant the seed of evil, you violate all the nature's law, the precepts. You kill, you harm, you commit all those nonsense. Then the fruition of it, you will reap the fruit of evil. That's why you suffer. You kill people, harm people, make people suffer and miserable. All these things will come back to you and it will haunt you. So although the Buddha mentioned Nibbana is the way out of suffering, and all Buddhists aspire to realize this enlightened state. Yeah. But can I ask you a question or not? You suffer for so long, then suddenly you strive very hard, realize enlightenment and gone. Is that what you want? Huh? How long can you live this life? That's why you compare to the Bodhisattva way. It's different, isn't it? Huh? When you realize this enlightenment and you know you can come back and have this type of knowledge and understanding, then life becomes meaningful, beautiful. That's why you get to experience life to the fullest. You get to live life to the fullest. Yeah. Then life becomes wonderful, meaningful. And this understanding is very beautiful. That's why do not be gullible, deluded. So a lot of people say, oh, yo, I don't want to stay here with you. Enough of suffering. So what you do? Quickly strive very hard and cultivate, give up everything, then hope to become enlightened. After that, what happens? You still die. But the only difference is if you really have the enlightenment, become arahant, then you don't take rebirth. Then no coming back, understand? But then, did you really live life? You didn't, is it? Because by the time you hit that, maybe that ticket, enlightenment ticket, how much more life do you have? And when you have that understanding, most people is one-sided on. You know what is one-sided on? Because they give up everything to realize that. Then after they realize that, they have this understanding, but they don't know how to come back to society already. You understand? Because most of the cases, they already become monks. They cannot come back to society. Not to say, as a monk, you are at a disadvantage. No, don't get me wrong. People want to become monk because they believe this is a more faster way. Because you go full time, understand? You give up all the worldly life so that you can focus on your cultivation. And this is also what the Buddha has introduced under his lineage. Yeah. But you must understand, this one has its meaning because he expects you to do this so that you develop the understanding and you can continue with this way of life, the holy life, so that in future when you come back, when you have this understanding, you will become different again. That's why he himself became the Bodhisattva. He existed for very long. He also took the Bodhisattva way and did the perfection. The sainthood way is important. The sainthood way is to let you understand that escape from suffering is possible. There is such thing as the unconditioned. So when you have that understanding, it's just like the analogy we can use is like our society. Okay? Society. You have our education system. Okay? You can study until whatever level you want. Maybe the sainthood way is like you reach form 5, then you become sin. Maybe Sotapan or then lower 6, upper 6, Sakadagami. Then you go to uni, Anagami. Then you do master, maybe Arahant. Then there is still PhD, you know. Oh, there is still specialization, you know. Oh, all these things, let's say you didn't do. Then you are contented. You just end. So what is to you, what is life? You have not really understood the whole thing. That's why the Supreme Enlightenment will give you the ultimate understanding, the ultimate perfection, the possibility of life, evolution, civilization and all things. But you must develop this resolve to go this way, to make the vow and all those things. And these are the secret of life. The conditioned world and the unconditioned, these two are completely opposite. But these two you need to have in order to understand life, in order to have the complete understanding and knowledge to come and to cease, to come and to live beautifully with this understanding. Without this understanding, you cannot come. Because the unconditioned, even you strive very hard, the moment you realize if you don't know how to go to put it the way, it will just cease, finish. Then there is no such thing as in Cantonese you say ko siu or ho sik. Ko siu is Hokkien. Ho sik. There's no such thing as ho sik. Ko siu. In English is one. What do you call? It's a waste. You cannot argue or reason using this, because the one that choose to be Arahant and finish is a choice. Understand? Well, after that cease, no more rebirth. To them, happy already. No need to come back and toy. Means what? They still think that they exist and they don't need to come back and toy. Understand? The reality is they never existed. It's just the form and mind keep on coming through coming nature. So they fail to understand that big picture, understand not? No reality. That's why the Sammasambuddha understand this, the Bodhisattva understand this. So they will not think like that. They will not think whether it's a waste or not a waste. It's up to you, they say. You want to cease, you want to end. It's just like you reach form 5. You think Sotapanna already, you guarantee become Arahant, maximum 7 life. So you will enjoy life up to you. But at form 5, you only have the form 5 experience and understanding. And you are limited in many, many fields. So, as a similar analogy, our society is a very good example. Because there are so much possibility. Now you look at this civilization, we are living in a golden age. So many things has changed, you know, so drastically, you know. Because of high tech, AI, and mainly is AI, artificial intelligence, and the internet boom, the high speed internet, that one really transformed the world. And a lot of things now has evolved and become so different. And human beings are so talented, do you know that? There are so many talent around. They are very innovative. And I tell you, we cannot catch up with the innovation. Things are happening so fast. I don't know how many of you experience it. Because my consciousness can feel a lot of things is moving. And we are, in fact, very, very blessed. Because we live in this golden age, golden era, where we can experience all this beautiful civilization, provided you have the Dhamma, you have the means, you have the understanding, and all those things. It's just like my daughter last weekend came back. We had a discussion. I told her, I say, because we have the Dhamma, because our karmic past, our condition, life is so good. We have almost everything. And especially my daughter and my son, they are at the prime of their age. Do you know? My daughter is just 39, not yet 40. My son 37, not yet 40. But they actually have the means to live life, do what they want to do. Because you don't need that much, understand, not to survive and all those things. Then they are very good themselves. They can plan their life and do what they like. So if you have this type of resources, well, possibility, understanding, and good condition, karmic nature, life can be really, really beautiful. For me, I have one more thing, my vow to fulfill. That's why I still hold the classes, because this is what my nature like to do. Otherwise, I will do something else. But this is better than other things. Understand? Because this one can transform living being. And the most important thing is wisdom, understanding of this teaching, the Dhamma. Then you all can become very beautiful. And in future, like I say, you take the Bodhisattva way, then after this asana, the next asana, you become so beautiful. Then you can, your nature can be like my nature, or better. And you can also contribute, be a blessing to the world. And this teaching is so beautiful. It can transform the world into a very, very different world, much better world. Yeah. And all these possibilities, I don't know whether you all got ever think of it. Yeah. The way I look at it is so beautiful, so wonderful. And life is really so immensely rich, immensely wonderful and meaningful. And there is so much thing happening. And the mind that has this understanding is so different. Every moment is so beautiful, so pristine, so meaningful. No need to worry about it, worry about that, run around here and there, then having problem here, problem there. To us, the word problem like doesn't exist. It's not in the dictionary at all. Why? It's only a problem when you perceive it with negativity. Understand not? You go and worry about it. You perceive it with negativity. You project the thought. Then it become a problem. To me, there is no problem. Everything is just the reality. The reality of life and existence. The Buddha calls suchness. Ta-ta-ta. Thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. If you want to avoid the condition, then don't create the coming consequence. If you plant the seed of evil and you are heedless and create all this, you don't blame other people for what happened to your life. That's why most of the Kayamita, when you have this understanding, when you change over to a proper way of living life, from a heedless way, you become heedful. And you develop your parami. You develop your karmic nature. And through this, your life turns and you become so beautiful. And this understanding is priceless. Money cannot buy. It can liberate you completely. Yeah. And most of the time, you have the Dhamma, you will have the parami. You will have the good life. Because everything will follow you. Because everything you do is so beautiful. Do you understand? This is what my nature realized. That's why my kids, my wife, they are very happy. And without Dhamma, really, not easy. But with Dhamma, everything is so beautiful. Smooth sailing. Then everything is like, wow, you are so blessed. Actually, it's nothing to do with luck. Like I always tell you, it's all your karmic inheritance. Your spiritual wealth, your spiritual inheritance that give you that understanding that enable you to have such good condition. You are here not by chance. Everything is decided by your karmic nature, your karmic imprint. And of course, for those who have cultivated before, your spiritual nature. And these two are the only thing you need to take care in life. If you take care of karmic nature, you will have the good life. Then you have this spiritual nature, develop it. You will have the wisdom and the understanding every time you come to complement your good karmic nature. So when you have both established, understood, you become the best, the gifted, the blessed. Because you have both the understanding of the condition and the unconditioned. And that will give you the understanding to understand life and to live the beautiful life of a noble one, enlightened one. And that life is the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You get to reap the fruit of your hard work. Then you get to live the life of a awakened or enlightened being. Enlightened being got no more suffering. So how beautiful. Life become beautiful. You just live. Then like my last teacher said, you enjoy. So everything is so beautiful. Meditation also you can have the experience so beautifully. Relax, aware, enjoy. The pristine stillness, tranquility, the true mind, the silent mind. So all these are possible. Anybody wants to ask any question or add anything to this? How many of you have thought about this before? Or somewhere in certain direction? You never look into all this. Maybe not time yet. Later on. Now you busy about your life. So many duty to do. Got to work. Got to take care of this, take care of that, take care of almost everything. That's why you will be very blessed when you have the means. Means you can decide how to live life. The time is on your side. Understand? Then you have the parami. You have the means to do what you want. Understand? To experience life, to travel, to maybe pamper yourself. I don't say enjoy. Pamper yourself. Have the good life. And our civilization, our world, is so different now. You don't have to really travel to see everything. Now with the internet world, the internet technology, you can have a TV, the multimedia and all those things, sight and sound, everything is so beautiful. And you can stream them online, you can see them all. Especially a lot of this program from Astro and the worldwide TV, they were so beautiful. You want adventurous? There is adventurous. You want what they call that? Nature. There is a program called Natural Geography. National Geography. Last time I remember, they got this series, Ticket to Indulgence. They teach you how to indulge in life. All the high flyer, fly in private plane, yacht, all those things. Then dine in all the beautiful places. And they show you. And these are not really unreachable. You don't really need much money. You can go on those very beautiful cruise with all the nice environment, music, food, experiences. Then you travel. No need to check in, check out or hotel. The luggage always on the cruise. Then they take you to all the beautiful ports. Then you can go down and have your nice cup of coffee. Food already in the ship a lot. You go there, you enjoy, you walk around the nice weather and all that. Then you experience the foreign climate, foreign culture. And you get to see a lot of beautiful sight and sound. scenery and all those things. You enjoy the sea breeze and all those things. It's really an experience, because during the time of my father, they don't have all this. So we are indeed very, very fortunate, blessed, in the sense that we understand. And we are not too old. We are still young. Vivian, are you still young? Oh, that's a good one. Yun Chan still thinks she's very young. Where is Yun Chan? Oh, yeah. Still sapat soy. Yes, she dark hair, and look, do you think she's 70 years old? And nobody can expect that. 10 years old, shake the head. You like a young girl. Well, your build is very small. Yeah, so sorry. And we have no white hair. My wife all white hair already. Huh? Wow, Hong Ah. 听到吗? Yun Chan say you look young. No young, no old. Don't look at the form. Every one of us is young. Young at heart. Your mind never age. Your mind grow in wisdom. You agree or not? Your mind never age. It grows in wisdom. What? Hopefully. You think your mind like your body can grow old, get sick and die? This mind never die. That's why there's a Buddhist song. Life never die, although... Don't know what already, I forgot already. It's only the consciousness that passes by. I remember. That's what Buddhist say. Life never die. Life never die, although we live. Live. Only the consciousness shall pass, something like that. I forgot already. Those were the, when I was in BGF, in the university, 1975, 76, 77. We got a lot of Buddhist hymns. I remember Victor V. He composed a lot of very nice Buddhist hymns. And all this come from like the Christian side, or no? The melody is very nice, and he is a good composer, I think, musician. That's why they have the Buddhist singers, Yizhanten, I remember. Those group of singers were very good. I bought a lot of their cassette, Yizhanten, I remember during those years. So Dhamma has a lot of things that can bring about beautiful mind states, beautiful understanding, and can really let you understand life, live life, and become beautiful, free from all suffering. That is the best. What else do you want? Money cannot buy another. You have all the wealth, so what? You don't understand life. End of the day, your life is still incomplete. You still suffer, become miserable. But you have the Dhamma, you don't have to be rich. The Dhamma will make you very rich. Yesterday I received a video. Did you all receive? It's about a couple, a very successful couple. No, I think they graduated from Oxford or don't know what. They came out. They worked for 3 years. They make a lot of money. They were Indian, from India. Then they got married. Both the family also very successful, wealthy, and they also make a lot of money. Then the wife suggested one day, the wife, I think, from a Buddhist family, why not we go and listen to Dhamma? The husband got money already. Okay lah, listen to Dhamma, go lah. They listen for 9 months. You know what happened? They both decide to renounce. Both, recite the Rita. The only problem is how to tell the parent. They give up everything. And one become a monk, one become a nun in India, and both are very happy. He said, this type of happiness, nobody can take away from him. He said, the other type of happiness is actually indulgence. And when you lose your wealth, you become miserable. The happiness is gone. That is worldly happiness. He said, this is spiritual, deep inside. And nobody can steal it from you. So he really, the two of them, no, less than 30 years old. Oh, go this way. You sure say sayang. And they are very handsome and very pretty, you know. No? I try to get the video. I don't know whether I deleted it or not. I send to you. You all can really look at life. Then you ask yourself, are they crazy or you crazy? Huh? Who is crazy? Are the couple crazy or you crazy? If you look at it from the worldly point of view, you should say crazy. The mother asks her son, are you sure you want to do this? You have everything, you see. You are so successful. You have good family status. You have all the wealth. You have everything. Beautiful house, beautiful career, and you have such a beautiful wife, you see. And you can have family, have children and all those things. Why you want to do that? Huh? Can you really understand how they think or not? If one day your children tell you that, how will you take it? I think our what? Your good friend just renounced her. What's his name? Wei Xian. When they all accepted it, finally. Quite okay now. At first 10 years also got slight problem last time. So she also want to renounce, become a nun. But sometimes when the calling come, the urge. But nowadays, don't worry. You don't have to go that way to understand the Dhamma. You have a choice. Really, you have a choice. You don't have to completely go that way, because now the Dhamma can be learned in the midst of life, like the Buddha said. The Satipatthana, the domain of meditation, is life itself. You can do it in the life itself. But you must know how to develop the condition. The condition needs to be developed through an understanding. And to have the condition to do it, you have to have the spiritual faculty, the resolve, the very strong faith, the saddha, the virya. Then it will drive you. Then you go all out to cultivate, like what I did in the year 1986 onward. Non-stop alternate. Then by the year 1989, beginning of 89, everything become different already. So it can be done. Can be done. Oh, 15 more minutes. You got any more questions? Anybody? Or anything to share about this topic, Nibbana? Yes.
Can you explain? You need to have the condition to realize the unconditioned. Okay. So if someone want to be enlightened, so they renounce and then they become monk or... So is that...
No.
Can they experience condition?
What I explain is, if you decide to choose the lay way, don't want to renounce, it can be done. But you need to understand the condition for it to happen. Because what is the difference between a monk and a non-monk? Society look at it as what? You go to ordination, you take the precept, you put on the robe. But does that really make you a monk? That does not make you a monk. If you follow the Buddha's advice, the Patimokkha strictly, and really do what the Buddha advised you, then yes, you are a true monk. But to be like that, you don't have to go on the rope and do the ordination. Understand? You can have the same determination and resolve. The only thing is, you still have to live life. So they believe to live life, you need to support yourself. You need to support your parent. You need to support maybe your sibling and other things. So they thought this duty is a burden on the lay life. Do you understand? So because of that, they say it's very difficult if you don't renounce. But if you renounce, you don't have to worry about working for money. And so people will support you. Then you can go full time. But the understanding is not what they think. Because I went through, I know. That time I have two children and my wife. I was only 32 years old. And I was in the midst of my engineering career. And I have a lot of duty, a lot of work. But my mind was so focused. Because from the past, it has this understanding. It knows this is the most important. Nothing else. Nothing else is important as understanding the Dhamma. With this understanding, not only this life, this nature free and have the good life, all is future life, all taken care of. Then it realizes it has this vow and it has done all this before. That's why it comes, it becomes so beautiful. That's why it can be done. And at that time, I still do my duty. And I know I will do well. If I choose to become materialistically very successful, I will be very successful. I will be very wealthy. But I didn't choose that route. Because among my classmates, I'm also one of the good ones, outstanding one. And we know we are capable of big things. We can do a lot of things. But I choose the spiritual path. That's why I forgo the what they call the materialistic one. But to me, you don't need so much money to survive there or to live a good life there. Well, to me, having maybe enough, let's say having 5 million, the money can make money for you and replace your income. And they call it financial freedom. Therefore, me, I know how to invest. So having 5 million and 50 million and 100 million and a billion, you think got different. Of course, the number more zero at the back. Understand? But can you finish the money? Can you use the money? More than what you really need. House pay off already. Car pay off already. Everything more or less pay off. And you got income from investment, from rental. Then what else you need? How much can you spend? How much can you use? Of course, you don't go and gamble. Don't go and do all those funny things. So, to me, simple life. So when my children decide not to go overseas, I save a lot of money. Then I know how to invest. I also manage to grow my money. That's why at the age of 40-something, I quit my career. I just retire 201. And this year is already 18 years. 18 years already. Then I realize I don't have to work for money to survive. That's how it is. And I don't have to depend on people for support. That's why I can actually live the good life. I can do everything on my own. So even that time when I was working with my children, I cultivate. Because I choose a job that is conducive. After the 2-year compulsory service, JKR, I supposed to go out private sector, and I will be very successful. A lot of my classmates during my time. One of them I recommend a job to him. He become very successful though. Yeah. And we are really equally good. But because of what I need, I choose a government, semi-government job where I can have the time to meditate, to cultivate the time to myself. Yeah. And I know how to actually that work is not easy. It's like what they call madhouse. My boss used to tell me 10 engineers are not enough. But I alone, no, I handle the whole thing. But I modify the whole thing. Then I introduce innovation. Then I simplify a lot of things. Yeah. Then I dedicate a lot of things. Then I standardize into annual contract. Simplify things. Yeah. That's why after that I got a lot of time. Whenever no meeting, I'm free. I want to take leave to go for meditation, retreat, spiritual trip, or whatever. Never stop on. Sure, the condition there. And that's what I did for those few years. And I can cultivate full time. At home, I told you the religious routine. Before I sleep, I meditate. Pay respect. I wake up, I meditate. Then before I go out, I pay respect. Go to office, I meditate again. Then daily mindfulness. That's what I did. And it can be done. And 86 to early 89, the nature knew. It has already had the understanding. That's why after 89, I technically don't need teacher. But my last teacher came in 89. I don't want to see him actually, but because of the condition, 6-7 times, then I knew, I don't know who he is. I need to see him. There must be a reason why. Otherwise, the condition won't keep on coming. And then finally, I knew why when I met him. He was the one that showed me the gateway. And it cut short my transformation later on. To stabilize that bodhisattva nature. To walk that way. By at least 10 to 15 years. That was the reason why at the age of 35... Otherwise, I had to wait till 50. Only I can come out to share. But at 35, I already have the understanding. Then funny also, during that time, at 35 until 2004. 2004 means I'm 50 there. Then only Yun Chan came and see me. Then invite me to come out. Also exactly 50 years old. So maybe meant to be. If he hasn't come also, by then I would have been ready. But because he come, I cut short the whole thing. Then by the time I come out, I'm already very different. So this is how Dhamma can really transform a living being and can really bring forth the understanding for the mind to liberate and to be free from suffering. So just now your question, I answer already there. I say when I talk about condition means not to say you decide to become a monk, you will go faster. No. You can choose either path, but you must understand what you choose. Whatever you choose, you must be serious. You must have the faith, the sincerity, the resolve to go this way. That's why the moment you plant the seed of Bodhi and take the Bodhisattva vow, you are better than those who don't understand, those who go the monk way. Monk, not necessary, everything is conducive. But there is a lot of restriction. As a monk, a lot of things you cannot do. You cannot own things, you cannot ask for things. You got a lot of precept, and you got a lot of training to do. And even within the monks community, there is also their own politics and all those things. It's not easy, the monastery and all those things. Then sometimes you want certain things, but you can't. Especially your body. Wei Shen, okay, still young. But as you age, as a monk, it's not easy, I tell you. You have seen them before. Your body doesn't support you anymore. So if you don't have the parami and the condition, it's not easy. But as a lay person, you got flexibility. If your mind is resolved, to me, If you are disciplined, you have the faith, you go this way, then you take the vow. As a lay person, you progress faster, I tell you. But you must have the faith, the resolve, the sincerity, and you must be serious, and you really want this way. Then nothing can stop you, I tell you. Nothing can stop you. But you have to give up something. Understand? Give up something means you cannot be like you want the materialistic success and at the same time you want the spiritual success. Cannot. You can only choose one. Yeah. But doesn't mean you cannot be successful financially. Understand? You must know how to invest. You must know how to grow your money. And to do that, you don't have to go full-time. Understand? In the midst of normal life. Investment doesn't need time. Understand? You only spend a little bit of what they call understanding to look at things. And with your Dhamma understanding, you can understand investment and all these things very easily. You can even understand the technicality of the civilization and all those things. And how the world evolved. Your mind is very different. And because of the transformation of consciousness, you will be more sensitive and you can understand more things, a lot more things. So, cultivate condition means choose the right path. Choose the spiritual path. Then go all out. No need to renounce. It can be done. And to me, this is a better way. That's what I advise Tammy. Because I told her as a lady, you are actually worse. Because as a Meiji, very little support and very difficult. That's why Weixiang, I never stop him. And under Achan Anandamo, I didn't even put link to it. I congratulated him. I said, you go. For you, because you talk to me, I can understand that. I advise you, no need. Because you can learn it by living life, by working. Actually, you learn more. Because this is real life testing you. As a monk, you cannot be tested, and I tell you. Most of the time, you cannot be tested. Because you don't have relationship and all those things. You maybe have monastery politics. and you fight your own defilement. That is the only thing that can test you. But in the lay life, you got a lot of relationship with your parent, your employer, your colleague. Then you have Dhamma friend, of course. These are the ones that support your practice. But you can be tested everywhere when you are in the office, understand? Or when you are going through life, career. There are a lot of things you will see in life that you will never see when you seclude yourself. Do you understand? So to me, if your resolve is there, your faith is there, and you are determined, you are sincere, you better go the lay life. It can be done. And it's faster. Really faster. Because of the resolve. Because I am free to do what I want. Otherwise, I have a lot of this monk's precept to stop me from doing a lot of things. Cannot get near to lady, cannot touch hand, cannot stay under one roof with the same girl and all those things. Then eat also have to so have to observe a lot of this. Then chanting, everything. If you really want that life, well and good, go. It's beautiful. But you must have the resolve. That's why the only difference is the resolve, the faith, and the sincerity to go this way. So if you have this, you don't need the rope, you don't need the ordination. But those who put on the rope and the ordination, and if they are not serious, it also defeats the purpose. That's why my teacher say, it's not the rope that make you the monk. If the rope make you the monk, you tie the rope to the tree also become monk. Oh, when he say that, I really, really, I had this laugh inside. I say, yeah. Because that time, I remember, my second last teacher warned my wife, He said, you look out, your husband is going to become a monk. Because I transformed so fast that time. And he told her. But then, because my last two teachers, they are lay people. Understand? Then Ajahn Yantra also told me the same message. It's not the robe that makes you a monk. Inside monk, you are monk. Understand? You have the wisdom, the parami, the quality, the heedfulness. You are a monk. A monk is defined by what quality you have in your heart. Not by what you wear. Understand? Not by the label, the title that you carry. No. So that's why that time I advise her. I say, you don't worry. You want to go Burma? I say, go. Try. After she came back, now she is different. With the understanding. Now with the, what they call, the internet technology, our website, everything. Then you should thank Chin Hao. The video. Make it so easy that sometimes you miss the class, but you listen and watch the video. It's like you are in the class. And this one is so beautiful, the recording. Okay, we better end. I heard the alarm just now. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merit. Transfer merit, then we invoke blessing for the country. Then after that, we will make our aspiration. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakkantu loka sasana etta wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontunya tayo, idang menya tinang hotu. Sukita hontunya tayo, idang menya tinang hotu. Sukita hontunya tayo. Deo asatukalena, sasa sampati hetu cha, fito bawatu loko cha, raja bawatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kabina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect to Triple Gem, then we end. Then after that, somebody can help open the durian out there, then bring it in. You all can have your supper. We should thank Yun Chan and the husband Raymond for the good durian. This one is Kampung durian.